Good evening. My name is Bill Clark. I'm the interim senior pastor here at Trinity Presbyterian Church, and I'm delighted to welcome all of you here to our 28th annual service of Lessons and Carols. Before we get going, let me make just a few announcements. We certainly appreciate if you're visiting with us here. You'll notice that there'll be some people that have white name tags. They are some of our staff members. If you have any questions or in any way we can help you, please try to find us and let us know how we can do that. We want you to feel absolutely welcome here. Thank you for coming tonight. Let me say a second thing. This is a little bit of a unique service in the church calendar year. It is very word heavy, so to speak. There'll be a lot of readings from the scriptures. We have printed the words of the anthems. You'll have the occasion, I believe, to sing four of the Christmas carols yourself. So what I'm saying is, just because you're not singing, don't go into a passive mood. Listen to the readings. Listen to this story that is included from the reader tonight, Dr. Jonathan Gibson, professor at Westminster Seminary, and from the choir as they sing, and let this message flow over your soul and heart and mind as if it were the first time. It's the best news the world has ever heard. And so I encourage you in that. And the last thing I would say is you will hear some wonderful renditions and orchestral playing and singing tonight. Please, I think the best way to go through this service is holding all applause until after. You'll see it on page 6, I believe. It's called a parting blessing. That's the official end of the service. If after that you want to let these wonderful people up here know of your appreciation for their service, you applaud, you do what you need to let them know that, okay? But let's not do that during the service, and we appreciate that. It actually will help them as they flow through the service. And so with that, let us begin.
Thank you. Beloved in Christ, in this Christmastide, let it be our care and delight to hear again the message of the angels, and in heart and mind to go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, and the babe lying in the manger. Let us read and mark in Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God, from the first days of our disobedience unto the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child. And let us make this place glad with our carols of praise. But first, let us pray for the needs of his whole world, for peace and goodwill over all the earth, for the mission and unity of the church for which he died, and especially in this country and within this state and in our city. And because this of all things would rejoice his heart, let us at this time remember in his name the poor and the helpless, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick and those who mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, and all those who know not the Lord Jesus, or who love him not, or who by sin have grieved his heart of love. Lastly, let us remember before God all those who rejoice with us, but on another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in this Lord Jesus we forevermore are one. Holy and loving Father, grant us the humility of the shepherds, the faith of the wise men, the joy of the angels, and the peace of Christ this Christmas and forevermore. Amen. The first lesson. God tells sinful Adam that he has lost the life of paradise and that his seed will bruise the serpent's head. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The word of the Lord. the second lesson. God promises to faithful Abraham that in his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The word of the Lord.
Oh,
The third lesson. The prophet foretells the glory of Bethlehem. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The fourth lesson, the peace that Christ will bring is foreshown. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The word of the Lord. Thank you. The fifth lesson. The angel salutes the Virgin Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
the sixth lesson, Luke tells of the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." The word of the Lord.
Yeah.
the seventh lesson. The angels go to the manger. The shepherds go to the manger. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The eighth lesson. The wise men are led by the star to Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
the ninth lesson. John unfolds the great mystery of the incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of the Lord. Some years ago, when our firstborn son, Ben, was just 4 months old, Jackie and I had the crazy idea of traveling from the UK to Sydney, Australia for Christmas. For those of you who know the flight time from London to Sydney, it is 24 hours. The flight there was fine. It was the flight home that was rather eventful. While Jackie slept, I took Ben to the restroom for the third time to change another dirty nappy, or diaper, as you say here in America. While I had him placed on the change table in that restroom, cleaning him up and putting on this new nappy, we entered a period of turbulence. Quite significant turbulence, such that I had one hand on top of my son trying to pin him to the change board while at the same time trying to wipe him and open a new nappy with one hand. And in the midst of the stress of trying to open this nappy, I then heard something and felt something with my left hand. My son was peeing right over his head against the sideboard, all over his hair, all over my hand, while I'm trying to open this nappy. And in that moment, a scripture verse came to me. It's true. It was not, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." It was not, "Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." No, it was a text from Isaiah the prophet. Just three words. Honestly, these came to me. "Behold your God." Behold your God. We had just enjoyed some carol services in Sydney, Australia, where Isaiah 40 had been read in the church service. And in the midst of the stress and the pee and the mess, those were the words that came to me. "Behold your God. Of course, I didn't think that my son Ben was God, but I did think that once upon a time, God became a baby boy, just like my son Ben. We just read about it in John 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, that is God's eternal Son, who was with God in the beginning and through whom all things were made, who was God in every essential way, in substance, in power, in glory, the person of God, God the Son, became a human being. But he didn't come down from heaven as a man with a jet pack on like a Power Ranger. No, he became a human being by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin called Mary. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became a human by first becoming a tiny zygote in his mother's womb, which then went through all the normal stages of development. He would have had an umbilical cord attached to a placenta in his mother's womb. He would have fed for 9 months through her blood. And then at 9 months, he would have traveled through her birth canal out into the big wide world. And when he came out, he would have cried and peed, pooped and cooed. And then he would have learned to crawl and then walk. And then run. He would have developed into a young boy and learned to talk. He would have grown into an adolescent and then into a man in full maturity. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That, friends, is the mystery of the Incarnation. That is the mystery of Christmas. The Word of God, God's eternally begotten Son, took upon himself a human nature and became a human being like one of us. And why? So that he could save us. So that he could save us. Irenaeus, the early church father, once said, God cannot save what he has not assumed. God cannot save what he has not assumed. What Irenaeus meant was that if God wanted to save humanity, he had to assume humanity. He had to assume a human nature and grow and develop through all the stages of human life. From life in the womb, to life as a toddler, to life as a little boy, to life as an adolescent, to life as a young man, to life as a mature man in adulthood. God cannot save what he has not assumed. In order for God to save us, he had to become one of us. That is the mystery of Christmas. And that was the mystery that came to me 38,000 feet in the air. In the middle of turbulence and mess and stress, behold your God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The question is, what will we do with this mystery, this Christmas? Will we muse on the mystery, or will we miss the mystery? Muse or miss, which will it be for you? Because not everyone gets the mystery. Not everyone believes the mystery. Some people miss the mystery. Some people reject or disbelieve it. Our last reading said as much. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Some people in Jesus' day missed the mystery. Some people in our day miss the mystery. Are you one of them? But there were some who mused on the mystery, who saw it for what it was. The Apostle John also mentions them. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. If you see the mystery, what do? You come and you kneel before this baby in a manger and own him as your Lord and Savior. So friends, this Christmas, don't miss the mystery. Muse on the mystery. By faith, muse on the mystery that the eternal Word became flesh and dwelt among us in order to save us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. May he who by his incarnation gathered into one things earthly and heavenly, grant you the fullness of inward peace and goodwill, and make you partakers of the divine nature. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. In the name of Christ, Amen.